say good afternoon to each and every one of you. I give my love to you all, every single person here. And I desire your prayers that the Lord will bless the thoughts. It's really kind of heavy on my heart today. I had some news recently that was very heavy on my heart. And I began to meditate and think about, you know, I'm usually a happy person, full of joy, right? And so I began to think about the joy of the Lord in the time of sorrow. This is the topic the Lord wants me to share, maintaining the joy in the time of sorrow. And I was thinking how that from time to time recently there's been a lot of sorrow. And I even was wondering, I say, is this beginning of sorrow that the Lord spoke about? Well, we don't know. But as I began to read and study and meditate, the Lord brought these thoughts to me, and I want to share it with you all today. Let's bow our heads. Dear Father, thou art God Almighty, yes. And we're dependent on you, not on ourselves, not on anything else but what thus says the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege to do this. We ask you to anoint the word and anoint each of our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was thinking about maintaining joy in the time of sorrow. Let's go to first. I really hope that somebody will do a lot of reading because I have quite a number of scriptures. John 25:7-11. So I was trying to think of what should we do with these things when we are faced with a lot of difficult situations. It may be sorrow, or it may just be a dark time or a difficult time or problems. And I was wondering, what should we do with these things? How should we react to it? How does the Lord want us to take these things? And then the Lord spoke to me and gave me some encouragement as to how we can manage in these difficult times. Sometimes we can say they're dark times. Sometimes we say they're troublesome times. But living as a human being, we are going to face these times. It's human. It's not something that's unusual. It seems unusual because it seems so much of it. But it is definitely the way of life. But thank God he has a way for us. And we have the privilege to live for him and trust him and know that he will be there with us. I'm thinking all this week, for several days, I've been thinking about how that the three Hebrew children had to go through the fiery furnace, but they didn't go alone because he was there with them. And so I believe the Lord wants us to lift up our heads in those times. Sometimes we might have a tendency to hold our head down, but I don't believe he wants us to do that. I believe he wants us to lift our heads above the things that we see around us and trust that he will be there for us. Did somebody get John. St. John 25, 7 to 11. I think I got the wrong chapter because I don't think there's even. That's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'll find it. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 3 and read 1 through 12.
Mm-hmm. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 12. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace.
You can stop there. That's good enough. You see, these are times or seasons of our lives. And there's a time, like for instance, when you go to a wedding, that's a time to rejoice. Everybody's rejoicing. When we go to a funeral, then there's some sadness. But this is the human experience. This scripture basically talks about the human experience. There's a time for sorrow. There's a time for joy. But I believe even in each one of these times, the joy of the Lord remains. You know, it's not something that the Lord, okay, I'm gonna give you joy when everything's going good. But when things are not going good, your joy goes away. That's not the way the Lord does it. He gives us joy in the midst of our troubles. We can be feeling the sadness of the loss of a loved one, but yet there are ways and things that the Lord wants us to have joy about, even in the midst of those kinds of things. And so I was thinking, there's a scripture that says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so he wants us to be joyful, even when these things come. Let's go to Job 14 and 1. Now Job, we realize, he suffered a lot. He went through something like our brother was saying. It's almost unimaginable to lose that much within that time. But yet, he had something in him that helped him in those times. I realized later, as the time goes on, he began to kind of complain and everything, but he never really lost his integrity with God, even with that. He says, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. That's life. It's what happens to us. But I'm so thankful for the ways of the Lord that we can have something better than just depending on my circumstances. If my circumstances is good, I'm happy. If it's not, I'm not. No, thank the Lord, we can do better than that. And then in Job 23 and 8 and 10, he went through something, but he had something to look beyond what was happening to him.
Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, that I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold.
Don't you see how that, what a predicament he felt? He didn't feel the Lord. He's here, but I don't see him here. And usually he's there, I don't see him there. I go back, forward, nowhere do I see him. But he could stand fast and stand firm, knowing that he knows the way that I take. He's trying me. He's letting me go through this. Well, I shall come forth as gold. You know, it's a blessing that we can come forth as gold, no matter what happens to us. Everyone look at, in spite of the difficult times, what does God want us to do? Does he want us to walk around and be sad and dreary and no, he doesn't. He wants us to have hope in him.
Yes.
Let's go to 1 Peter 1 and read 3 through 9. We need to let our hope just soar in the Lord. No matter, just like Job, if he didn't have hope in the Lord, that would have been to his demise, really. But he knew that he was there. I may not feel him. I may not even see him, but I know he's there. We need to have confidence that he's there with us, even if we don't feel like he's there. We, by faith, our faith and our confidence need to be firm in God, knowing that he's right there to help us out, even though it may not seem like, feel so alone. You can imagine what Jesus felt on that cross when he said, Father, what did he say? Why hast thou forsaken me? Yes, the Lord turned, he turned his back in a sense, but not fully away from him, to allow it. No doubt if he hadn't, he couldn't allow it. So he had to kind of back up enough to let him go through that. But yet, he still, in one of the scriptures that we're going to read, it says that Jesus, in Hebrews, he for the joy that was set before him, and he endured these things. He knew there was joy on the other side. So we can have that confidence. You know, he knows the way I take. When I come forth, I'll come forth as gold. That can bring joy to our soul, knowing that we're gonna come out of this on victory side.
Yes, amen.
Somebody got that scripture for me?
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls.
If we have nothing else to have joy about, we can have joy in the fact that we are saved and that we have received the salvation of our souls. And here he says, now you're in manifold temptations. There comes those times when we're going to be in heaviness. It said in verse 6, says, wherein you greatly rejoice. So now for a season. For a season. We go through these things. It's our season. Sometimes It's a season of sickness. It could be a season of death. It could be a season of financial situations or whatever, or job loss, all kinds of different things. I was thinking about Brother Dan the other day. He fell and he hurt his arm, rotator cuff, and that's a season for him to have to maybe be limited in the things that he could do. All of us go through seasons of trials and problems. But it says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perished, though it is tried with fire. These things, it's hot. The fire is on, so to speak. But might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. These things will work in us joy. They will. Maybe it may not seem like it or feel like it when it's hot, but when we come through it, it's going to bring joy. It's going to be joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's not just a little joy. It's going to be joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do you know, think about it, people a lot of times when you see they rejoicing, those people have gone through things. If we never go in through anything, we don't know the power of God. It takes going through hard times to know and to see the power of God. Maybe I don't see you right now, Lord, but I know you know the way I take. I know I'm going to come through it with gold. I know this is working good for me and good for others. Let's go to Philippians 4:4.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice.
It doesn't say rejoice in the Lord when everything's going good. It said always. Rejoice in the good times. Rejoice in the bad times. But rejoice. So that was the answer to my question I was having in my mind. What do I do with this? What do I do with my joy? I've been a joyful person. Now I'm seeing this thing, and what do I do with it? The Lord answered it. Rejoice. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Regardless. And so, but you know, if anybody can do that, the saints can do it. If you're living for God, you can do it. The people of the world don't have the resources we have. We have access to the Holy Spirit and to the power of God that gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory. Something that is beyond what's human, what's natural. It's not natural to be walking around and praising God when things are going bad. But he wants us to do it anyway, and let's do it. Let's go to Psalms 4:7.
Verse 7,
mm-hmm.
Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased.
God put gladness in our heart more than all of these other things that create happiness. People have happiness for a little while when things are going like they feel like it should go. But God puts a gladness in our heart that reaches beyond that. And so, it is not, I conclude in my heart, that it's not God's will to just let the things of this life take away my joy. That's my personal response to this. It's not his will. He wants me to keep the joy of the Lord. Let's go to Romans 15:13. Remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength. how are we going to go through and have strength? We need the joy of the Lord bubbling up in our soul. You say, you might look at a person that's just rejoicing, and you say, wow, they must have everything. They must have all the food they need, all the money they need, all the love of everybody they need. Everything must be going great for them. Those are the people, a lot of times, they have a lot of great sorrow and great distress, but they're looking beyond the things of this life to the God of heaven. He's God Almighty. Saints, we need to realize we serve God Almighty, the God that made the heavens and the earth and everything that therein is. And there's nothing too hard for God. No matter how many people you see that maybe they went on, and you say, nothing too hard for God. None of these things that have happened in our lives diminish his power or his strength at all. We need to count it so that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He wants his power in us radiating out of our life in spite of all the difficult things that come our way. You know, we think about, I hear Sister Charlotte telling about people that have these songs, that have written these songs out of great distress. You would think everything was right and went well, but they faced some great distress. But how could they do that? Not in the human, they can't. It takes the power of God. That's how they could do it. We need to be so filled up with the Spirit of God that no matter what happens to us, we can still rejoice and have joy in our heart and not go down. It's not his will that we let these things take our joy. Did someone get that scripture?
Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Read that one more time. Now the God, what?
Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost.
See, the God of all hope. Yes. God is a God of hope. Yes. He's not a God of, what do you call it? A dismal God. That's all I want to say. Woe is me, God. He's not that. He's got great power. And if we walk around with woe is me, we're displaying to the world that our God is not able. We want to show the world that our God is able, fully able. Everything. He can do anything. Be encouraged, saints. No matter what we're having to go through, let's be encouraged and let's let our praise go up to him at all time. Psalms 16 and 12.
Sister Doris, there is no okay. Verse 12.
I may have.
Is it the thou wilt show me the path of life? In thy presence is fullness of joy. Okay, yeah. That's yeah. Verse 11. Okay. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
Thank the Lord.
Yes.
You know, I just appreciate having this access to this God, because in his presence, we can stay in his presence. We can have it every day, all the time. We don't really have to just wait till we get to church to be in the presence of God. We can be in the presence of God in our bedroom, in our bathroom. The Lord can come down and he can just fill us up with joy in spite of whatever happens.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that we may be headed for more difficult times. We don't know. But if we are, we need to be so filled up with God that it won't take us down. That's what the devil wants, to let problems take us down. But God doesn't want that. Let's go to John 16 and 23. I have a lot of scriptures, you all. Bear with me. And I like to have scriptures because then people don't have to say it's just my opinion.
John 16:23. Mm-hmm. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you.
I think.
The next verse says, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full.
That's it. That's it. Thank the Lord. So we want to be encouraged, right? Because we can ask anything. We can tell him about anything. We can express to him our concerns and our burdens. And we can know the Lord wants us to have joy. He just wants us to keep our minds focused on him and lift our eyes above what we see. Hebrews 12 and 2. We want to see how Jesus did it.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
See how Jesus did this? I'm thinking about how that when he went through the Garden of Gethsemane, he was saying, let this cup pass from me. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. He had to go through that. But what helped him is the joy. He knew that if he did go through it, many and all of us would do just like we are here today. We'd be saved. And we'd be partaking of the joy that had. It was gone. That made joy for him in the midst of the fact that he was facing the cross. And so we can do the same. I know this is hard, Lord, but for the joy that's set before me, I know I got a crown of life waiting for me. I know I have a mansion over there. For the joy that's set before us, we can endure things. We can endure the things that we feel that we're experiencing. So we need to recognize the importance of having joy. Do you know there are many people that lose hope today? Some of them are suicidal. They have nothing. I lost this and I lost that and I can't take it. They want to take their lives. God wants his people to have this joy that we can look beyond all the things that we have, that we don't allow the enemy to depress us. We shouldn't be depressed. Did y'all hear me say that? We should not be depressed. That is not God's way. When you feel depression, you need to fight it like you fight the devil himself, because depression is not of God. He has provided all of this for us, the joy he has given us. So let's not give in to depression. Let's not even feel like I got a right to feel depressed. Sometimes the devil will make you feel, well, I got a right to feel like this because this has happened, that's happened. No, you don't. Resist it, fight it, and let the joy of God just flow in your heart. Psalms 5 and 11. We're trusting in God. If we trust in our own selves, then we're not going to make it. But if we have a firm trust in the Lord, we can have this joy, and let's not let it go. Just hold on to it like I'm holding on to this pulpit. Hold tight to our joy, yes. No matter what. So,
but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee.
See, we love the name of the Lord. We're his children. He cares about us. He cares about the little thing. Sometimes we have a certain thing that we say, oh, this is too little to take to the Lord. And we feel like we got to figure it out ourselves. And we're sitting there worrying about it, trying to figure it out, when all we have to do is just trust in him. And he will work it out. He cares. He cares about everything, even the small things, like losing your keys or losing your phone. Or, you know what? I'm trying my best to get somewhere, and it looked like I'm just going to be late. And you know, sometimes the Lord just work it out. You get there, the person wasn't ready for you anyway. He cares about all the little details of our life, so much so that he knows every single hair. Every single hair on everybody's head. That's a lot of care, isn't it? A little string of hair. I have so much hair that comes out in my brush, till it don't mean nothing much to me. But God cares. If a little tear, he sees our tears. And sometimes nobody knows how we're feeling, but God knows. And he's there. And he cares. He showed those three Hebrew children how much he cared, because they didn't have to go in that fiery furnace alone. The Pharaoh, what was it? He say, I see four walking, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God. See? He's there with us all the time. So, we can rejoice because we're trusting in the living God. You know, he wanted those Hebrew children to bow to that idol. That was just an idol, the work of some man's hand. But they were trusting in the living God. And the living God got right down in that fiery furnace with them. Do you think he just gave up after that?
No.
He's there to get in every single one of our fiery furnaces, whatever we're dealing with. He's there. He's going to be right there with us, because he's a living God. Yes. He's not a dead God. He's living. He's alive and well. And I'm thankful to have this God to trust in. I'm going to skip some of the reading just for the sake of time. But I want us to think about Paul and Silas. Let's go to Acts 16 and read start at verse 9.
And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days.
Let's go down to verse, start at 11. So we know that the people, let's start at 11.
I'm sorry, what verse did you say?
I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is not the one I want. Anyway, I'll just tell it.
Are you wanting Paul and Silas in prison?
Yeah.
Verse 25, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed.
Okay, this is what happened. They had been preaching. These people threw them in jail. You would think, if I'm in jail and I'm all got banned, I'm all tied up, I have nothing but sadness. But these brothers, instead of being sad, at midnight, they start praying and what? Singing praises to God. Do you know that I believe that if we can have the joy of God in our soul, the Lord will lift our problems and our burdens. I believe he wants to lift some of our burdens and some of our problems, some of our sorrow and some of our grief. I remember when I lost my mother, and I probably have told you all this before. I felt so at a loss. It seemed like here's the person that led me. Everything I know and understand about life, about Jesus, I basically came from her. And now she's gone. Now, mind you, my mother lived till she was 90 years old, so you would think that I would consider that right, but I didn't. And so I was just looking up, like in the clouds, and thinking, where is she? I mean, I had a family, I had children, I had a husband, but I was just like that. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, let me heal you. I opened my heart and let him heal me. And you know, that's what the Lord wants us to do. These brothers, they could have felt, woe is me. Here I've been preaching the gospel, I've been doing all this good thing for the Lord, and I'm tied down and in prison. No, they didn't. They said at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And sometimes we'll pray and we'll be asking the Lord, please help me, please work this out. And I'm guilty of asking him that too, and it's okay. But they didn't stop there. They what? Sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Who else heard them? God heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. Do you know, I believe God's going to loose some bands when we begin to praise him and have joy in our heart. So I want us to be encouraged. Don't allow the things, the sorrow, the grief, the problems cause us to lose our joy. Pray for me.